Merry Christmas. It's December, and we are in the studio at Cultivating Hearts. And before I start telling you what we're going to do, I'm going to let the ladies introduce themselves.
So I'm Hosanna, and I'm here with Tara.
Yeah, Tara's here.
From Grace University. Hi.
I'm Jackie Towns, and I'm here with Tara. I'm visiting the university this week.
And I'm also a student at Grace University. My name is Hannah.
And I'm Sandy. So we are in James, and we're ending up, and we're starting with James 5, 1 through 6. And boy, there's a stern warning in this about, it's always about the heart, the condition of the heart, and boy, we need to get that straight.
You know, we've been talking about, let's just recap for those that may be listening for the first time. We've been looking at the book of James and how this is the group of people that he's writing to. It's not just one church. It's a letter that's actually intended for many people. And we, in the last few months, we've looked at how James was really challenging them to think on how they could draw close to God. And then he started processing and walking them through to not judge, to reconsider their confidence and not to be so self-confident, to not allow arrogance to get in between their relationship with God and with others. And now we're going to look at how he comes across really strong. I'm not going to say anything. We're going to read the passage first, and then we'll get in and I'll ask some questions so we can reflect on what it looks like. Go ahead, Hosanna.
Starting in verse 1, it says, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat away your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you."
Wow. Okay. What would you say the tone is of this part of the letter?
It's kind of condemning.
Yeah, it's stern.
I mean, do you listen and you kind of go, oh.
Yep.
and it's honestly the passage that you take this passage and you think, I don't really want to listen to this. It's not the passage you'd say, okay, everybody, come this Sunday. We're going to teach on James 5, 1 through 6. It's not the passage that everybody's going to say, oh, I've got to read that, right?
Yeah.
Every time that we've actually taught this particular section in James, it's concerned me because I don't want it to be where we're coming across as condemning. Right. Mm-hmm. But what we have to remember, and we've talked about this many times before, that when we hear an encouragement, because really these warnings are an encouragement, if our heart is ready to receive, we will be motivated to move towards it. If our hearts are not, then we'll feel condemnation. And so that's when Sandy said it's a check of the heart. That's what we have to do. So I want us to go, Hannah, if you would look up for me Luke 16, and I want us to read some verses from Luke 16 of what Luke had to say about money, and we're going to read verses 13 through 15, and I want this to become what we use to help us process this passage in James.
All right, so Luke 16, 13 through 15. Mm-hmm. "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees, who dearly loved their money, heard all of this and scoffed at him. Then he said to them, 'You like to appear righteous in public, but God knows your hearts. What this world honors is detestable in the sight of God.'"
Okay. All right. This passage right here talks to us about having two masters. So what is he talking about when he says two masters?
Like the temptation of idolatry, kind of. Mm-hmm. Either you're going to be following God or you're going to be like following something else that you desire. In this case, money.
Yep.
Right. But we could put a blank there, honestly. Yes. If we just had where every time it referenced money, and we just left it as a blank space. What are some things that you might have put in that blank? I'm really going to ask it. Yeah, I just did.
She's pointing to me. No,
I have all five fingers out.
You do that when you love your children or your husband or more than God. You know.
Okay.
Because that's...
Yeah, I have been on my knees and had to confess the sin that I had made Greg my idol.
Yep.
I have been on my knees and had to confess the sin that I've made Michaela and Grant my idol. I've actually done it with my RAs and with Grace University, with different aspects of ministry. How about you guys? What other things?
I think like personal success can also be definitely an idol that you're willing to sacrifice your devotion time, or like some people like church and like that community is just like, well, I can't do that because my career is at stake here. Mm-hmm. Or in my case as a student, you know, my grades, my GPA, my scholarship.
Right. Anything else?
And I think that comes back to power, authority. It's more important that, you know, to be recognized instead of giving God the glory.
It's very easy to fall into the trap.
It is.
And wanting that.
So
I can also make... things that I just want.
Not me, want. Yeah.
You know, just I want what I want when I want it. Okay? And so that is one of the things that we can't. And I really want us to see that even though he may be talking about money or riches, it's anything that we might place in the place of God.
Right.
Yes. And what happens is that in this passage in Luke 16, he references and he says, the Pharisees, in my translation, he said, dearly loved money. And then for that reason, they scoffed him. So it's the love of something that we have that when we hear a teaching on it that challenges us to maybe release it, we will actually scoff that teaching in order to justify our love. Okay, so that's what I want us to get. It's the love of something that will cause us to scoff against a teaching that is against it in order to justify why we're doing what we're doing. So we can put in there not just idols, sinful behavior, life choices, something along that lines. And I was reading John Piper. John Piper had an article that was phenomenal. It was probably like a sermon at some point that he had. And he went through and he's just started listing out things that we could have love for. And, you know, and so, and the way that people will fight in order to justify why they do what they do in those areas. And he covered everything from relationships to alcohol to sex to power, to education. He just listed out all the things that we can have a love for. We can scoff at somebody in order to justify that behavior. Have that pattern in your head as we go through this passage of James. So what I'm going to do this time is I'm going to have us go back. I'm going to ask Hannah to read it for us in the message. It's the second one there. For us so that we can listen again as we get ready to study this passage.
The 5:1-3.
Mm-hmm.
And a final word to you arrogant rich, take some lessons and lament. You'll need buckets for the tears when the crash comes upon you. Your money is corrupt and your fine clothes stink. Your greedy luxuries are a cancer in your gut, destroying your life from within. You thought you were piling up wealth. What you've piled up is judgment.
Okay.
That says it.
What did he call them? The arrogant?
Oh, yeah.
The arrogant. Do you remember we were looking at that? The warning right before this was the self-confidence and having that arrogance of thinking, I have it.
And this says self-indulgence, doesn't it, in our passage today?
Yeah. And so what I wanted to present to you is it's talking about three kinds of wealth. Okay, and so, and it's really crazy. And you'll see that this all through Scripture supports it. So he references, there's like the wealth, I want you to think through the wealth of food. And food, it will rot, it corrupts, it will fall apart. With garments, It'll be moth-eaten. You know, we're told in the Beatitudes it can tear. It'll, you know, fall apart. The gold and silver, it corrodes. So thinking through, those are the three types of wealth we can have in our life. When you think of your food, your garments, and maybe your silver and gold, and I literally, you guys, as I was praying through this morning, I was like, God, I just need to ask for forgiveness because I have an abundance of all three.
Me too.
I have cabinets full of food. I have closets full of clothes. And I have a jewelry box full of jewelry. I'm sorry, God, forgive me. I know this is going out into lots of nations, so I apologize for that. And just ask God, like, these things that they erode. And this is what we consider our riches. Mm-hmm. And we're willing to fight for food. We're willing to fight for garments. We're willing to fight for gold and silver. And my mind went to when we flooded and we lost everything. We had no food in our cabinets. Our clothes were destroyed because as the water rose up in the house, you don't realize how many dyes are in clothes that maybe you dry clean. All it took was that water to touch one, and it touched all of them, and all of them had the bleeding of black dye, red dye, purple dye, whatever the strong dyes were. It bled into all of them. So all the clothes were destroyed, the food, obviously, and everything that was wood that we thought, it just warped. And anything that had brass or form of metal or whatever, it all just rusted and corroded. It wiped it all out. And that was just one little flood. And so for me, this is going through my mind and how we can think these things are so important. And he says, look here, you rich people, weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible troubles ahead of you. So we have to, what am I valuing? And it's a good time for us to be evaluating that, because what can we give out? What can we take of what we have and feed others and dress others and maybe even bless them with stuff that's just stockpiling in your house that somebody's going to have to sort through when we die?
That's
pretty strong.
No, but that's true.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, why are we doing that? So it's a harsh message that we're having to go through today, right? It's kind of convicting. Mm-hmm. But I want us to think through it now. If Hosanna would go and look up Hosea 10:12. And in this passage, and I want us to see what Hosea 10:12 says we should do with our hearts. And it's a beautiful passage showing what God wants within the heart and not just with the things. Okay, you got it?
Yeah, it says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness down upon you.
I always love the action words that the Lord puts in the word, you know. Yeah. Rain, you know, and some of the ones that they're saying.
All right.
So, telling us what to do.
Two key words, righteousness and steadfast love. Righteousness and steadfast love. So as we examine James and we look at these things that we're to shed, we don't want to justify because we dearly love something. We don't want to scoff at it. We need to fill ourselves with righteousness and steadfast love. When I say those two words, what do you think of?
When I think of righteousness, I think of Christ's righteousness.
Mm-hmm. And when you think
that's the only way we have it.
And steadfast love?
For Christ.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And depending on the translation, it may say unfailing love. Mm-hmm. And so how many times do you read about the love of God in Scripture, or the unfailing love of God, or the enduring love of God,
faithful,
or the eternal love of God. Mm-hmm. And so if we're placing it in Christ, then we will have those in us. And so I want us to think through how we can make that happen in our hearts and minds. Okay. What do you think he is trying to get them to understand? What is he predicting to them if they don't? What is he trying to predict and show them? If they have their love for these things.
It's judgment. His judgment's coming.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And what is that judgment? I mean, is it judgment today? Is it judgment later? What do you think?
I hate to be the one only talking.
What
Speak
do you guys
up,
think?
Women.
Well, go ahead.
I think that it's not only judgment later, which is of course, but I think you always have to keep your heart intact, because if you even, I mean, it can be a really good thing. It can be family, but if you let something take precedence over God and your relationship with God, that's going to cause you to get further and further away from God. But if you keep your heart intact and keep your focus where it should be on a daily basis, I think it's harder to regroup than it is to stay where you need mm-hmm. to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, right. It is judgment coming in right. the future, mm-hmm. but it's also that day to day where you're not just, in Hosea it said, he will rain down mm-hmm. his righteousness. And to me, that's just a beautiful picture of him raining down his love and his blessing on us, and that righteousness, but it comes from the daily mm. being close to him.
It's so important. Establishing that relationship, and that's exactly right.
And that's how you keep your heart pure.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Allowing his righteousness to be mm-hmm. evident in us, and choosing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's a choice.
It is yeah. always a choice.
Choosing. Yeah. And being willing when we hear. So as I'm looking at this, okay, look here, you rich people. I think it was Francis Chan. He said, nobody, when you ask them, are you rich, will say they're rich.
Mm.
Like, everybody has a standard of what they think rich is. Mm. And so how many people do you know that would tell you, I'm rich?
They'd always quantify it.
Yeah. Like, well, it depends what you mean by rich.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not talking money. I'm just yeah. talking yourself. You know, what are you rich in? You're rich in the love, the blessings, the, you know, but it's not mm. necessarily the money.
Right. But the mind goes to, when you yes. use the word rich, yep. it's to finances.
It is.
And so one aspect, let's just take into consideration. All right, we represent Grace University and the Open Door Mission. Open Door Mission is our sponsor, which is a homeless shelter, and Grace University, because it's the place that I serve and work and do ministry. The top 1% in the world actually gets a college education.
Really?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Wow. 1%?
1%.
I didn't think it was that low.
Right? Rich.
Wow.
We're rich. Take poverty, the Open Door Mission, homeless shelter. Our poverty level in the United States,
it's not as, it's low. We're, I mean, it's high, I mean.
Like, yeah. we're rich mm-hmm. compared to the rest of the world.
Right.
What we view as poverty. Statistically, what we view as rich is not necessarily what we think.
Right.
Just as poverty isn't necessarily what we think. We'll come back to that idea next time.